Tango conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Ramgiridhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavata, verse 7.2.14. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Mataji for the brief introduction. Hare Krishna, over to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for giving me the opportunity to serve. So, His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji is the disciple of His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami Maharaj, and he is practicing Krishna consciousness since 1989. He hails from Srirangam, Tamil Nadu, India, and is currently living in Mumbai. He is a trustee in Bhakti Vedanta College, Radhadesh, and Alfred Ford School of Management, Belgium. He is responsible for collecting annual reports from all ISKCON temples, preaching centers, namhatas, and process and maintain the database. This service is under the purview of GBC of ISKCON. He is the director of North American Institute of Oriental and Classical Studies, NIOS, and is one of the leaders of Congregation Development Initiative of ISKCON, Navi Mumbai. He organized programs and preached to young children and youths in Mumbai. He has a master's degree MS in software systems from Birla Institute of Technology, BITS Pilani, and bachelor's of engineering, electronics and instrumentation from Anna University, Chennai. He is co-founder, managing director and CEO of Goranga Software Technology Private Limited, a software development and technology services company since 2007. He's also a co-founder and director of Goloka Education and Resource Development Company since 2011. And he's also the co-founder and director of Gokul Kids Education and Early Childhood Education Initiative of Goloka Education. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji, for that brief introduction. Yes, now we will go with the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept all of our humble obeisances.
Mataji, I don't see Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable association and time in this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to have you in this call, Prabhuji. So, our small permission that we will have only class and there is no question and answer session, and the class will be for 1 hour. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, over to you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, all the assembled Vaishnavas ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 14. Puragrama Vrajodhyana Kshetra Ramsaramakaran Keta Karvata Goshamscha Dadahu Patananicham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burned the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produced valuable metals, the residential quarters of the agriculturists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors, the cowherdmen. They also burned the government capitals. Purport. The word Udhyana refers to places where trees are especially grown to produce fruits and flowers, which are most important for human civilization. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upahritam Ashnami Priyatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. Fruits and flowers are very much pleasing to the Lord. If one wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can simply offer fruits and flowers, and the Lord will be pleased to accept them. Our only duty is to please the Supreme Godhead, Samshiddhir Haritoshanam. Whatever we do and whatever occupation, our main purpose should be to please the Supreme Lord. All the paraphernalia mentioned in this verse is especially meant for the satisfaction of the Lord, not the satisfaction of one's senses. The government, indeed, the entire society, should be structured in such a way that everyone can be trained to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, especially in this age, Mete Vidusvartha Gatim Ki Vishnum, people do not know that the highest goal of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. On the contrary, like demons, they simply plan to kill Vishnu and be happy by sense gratification. Om Ajnana Timirandasyam Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshuran Militam Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namaom Vishnu Padayam Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedantam Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanyam Prabhu Nityanandam Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a very interesting as well as instructive to learn Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, because Srimad Bhagavatam actually helps us to be like a mirror. When someone reads Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, then slowly, slowly, we are able to see and realize ourselves. From the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, from different pastimes, along with discussing about the personalities involved in the pastimes, we are able to see several insights within ourselves. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is just not meant for scholarly studies. It is meant for introspective study. Whenever we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we should study in a frame of mind that we need to keep searching lessons for us to apply in our daily lives. So, we are in a context where Hiranyakashipu and two sons of Hiranyaksha are way too upset with Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu, as Varaha Avatar, he killed Hiranyaksha. It was not that Hiranyaksha was very innocent that Krishna, Vishnu killed. It is understandable that an innocent is punished, then he can be reactive. But Hiranyaksha was such a rascal that he gave hard time to all the heavenly people, and he literally choked up the functioning of the entire universe to the extent that he hit the earthly planets and did so much of notorious activity that the demigods, in spite of all their powers, they couldn't win over him. As always, Krishna comes to the rescue of his dear devotees. So he came as Varaha and eventually had a very befitting response to Hiranyaksha's arrogance and finally saved the demigods. So here, this current context is the scene that you are seeing now, what we just read today. It's all created by Hiranyakashipu and the two sons of Hiranyaksha because they are upset that their father was killed. It is very interesting that these demoniac people, to establish how brainless they are, they will kill everyone, they will harm everyone, they will try to loot things from everyone, and that is justifiable. But if somebody does that to him, then it is something that they can't tolerate and they would like to retaliate and hold the persons involved responsible. So interestingly, today we are going to dissect through the mindset of demoniac people so that we can be aware about those qualities as well as see if they are somewhere within ourselves to clean them up. As it is explained, in Kali Yuga, we all have multiple personality disorder. Especially all the sadhakas, barring all those self-realized souls. All the sadhakas, we have this split personality or multiple personality disorder. When we are with devotees in Vaishnava Sangha, we are very serious, sincere, always thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, conducting ourselves in a much righteous manner. But obvious, because the Sangha facilitates for that. But when we are with our friends, when we are with our relatives, when we are with the general public, when we are in a social gathering, we would have all the other personalities within us, come out. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement, the whole Krishna consciousness process is meant to transform us from Naradama to Narottama, from being a person who is materially engrossed to the stage of being completely free from sense gratificatory propensity. So anyone who is part of this Krishna consciousness movement should know that this process will take us through different stages of purification. And as it is taking us through different stages of purification, we will have to wither away. We will have to give up different quotients, which otherwise we would have cherished, we would have held on to ourselves. As Prabhupada used to mention in one of the lectures, that one gopi was going towards Yamuna, and on the way she met another gopi. So the one who is coming from the Yamuna, she is seeing this gopi and said that, are you going to the river side? So the second one says, yeah, I'm going there. So she says, beware and don't meet with the blackish, bluish boy. He plays the flute and is very charming, very attractive. If you ever have any desire to enjoy sense gratificatory propensity in this world, never ever meet that person. It is a very sarcastically or in a very joking way of saying how the association with the Supreme Lord will actually crush away, completely cleans up all the anomalies in our heart. So all of us who are students of Krishna consciousness process theoretically understand as well as accept this. But the challenge comes when we start the theory to be putting into practice. Most of the times, especially if I can, you know, say all of you, all of us, who are all part of this, you know, spiritual Sangha, I am sure at different point in times, you all would have been given an opportunity to give a give a class or preach to someone. In every circumstances, when we speak, when we prepare for the class, we deliver correct message. We know what is correct. At least, if I can take that basis. But where do we have a problem? The problem is what I know to apply it in my life and make that as my lifestyle. That's where I have a problem. And that's where this journey from Naradama to Narottama happens. So today in our discussions, we are going to churn this current context through some sets of reflections and try to see if I have some take-home lessons. The very first lesson or very first reflection that I want to discuss is about the demoniac nature. I was giving a class to a group of audience and I said, let us all give a piece of paper to everyone and we are given 5 minutes time and say, please draw any demon, an image of any demon that you know. If you can't draw for some reason, like a person like me, at least write 15 features or 10 features of a demon. So the obvious answers were, the demon is very black, have a very, you know, gory teeth, horns, reddish eyes, very, you know, ugly or very passionate, have weapons. So these are all obvious descriptions that we have seen in different pictures, we have read in Srimad Bhagavatam descriptions. But in the process, you know, one thing that we seldom fail to recognize, if I can say this as an introspective statement, we fail to write our characteristics, our conditioning nature in the list of the demoniac features. I was jokingly say them that why do we have to take so much of endeavor in drawing a picture of a demon? We might as well bring in a mirror and see. Because we all, each and every one of us, have got demoniac propensities within our heart. So what is the demoniac propensity? What makes a demon a demon? For that, Krishna is answering in Bhagavad Gita very nicely. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. One unique important characteristics that differentiate a sane person vis-a-vis an insane demoniac person is ahankar. Because we think demons are stupids, or sometimes we have that understanding. They are not. They are very intelligent. They are very capable. They may be very well learned. They will be very powerful, very rich, very beautiful, very strong. But having a very bad intention also. So just because of one quotient of having a very bad intention, having that strong quotient of ahankar, a person will switch from a sadhaka to asura. You can have all these acquisitions, all these resources, and have little shraddha towards Krishna consciousness. So probably you will be classified as a sadhaka, kanishta, or a prospective devotee. But in that entire quotient, if the predominant central factor is ahankar, I, me, mine only, that mentality of only tag attached to me makes a person demoniac. So, as is explained, in Satya Yuga, demons used to be living in different planets. In Treta Yuga, demons used to be living in different countries. In Dwapara Yuga, demons used to live in different cities. And in Kali Yuga, they are living, within ourselves. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gives a fantastic explanation of how each of the demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan, each of them represent different vices within ourselves. So the idea is that so long as we try to recognize, identify the demon within ourselves, we have a risk of becoming demoniac at any time. If for some God forbid reason we get into the wrong association, this demoniac propensity will be fired and we will not even realize when we became demoniac. So my first reflection is about that Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha's sons, they are all very upset. They are all trying to retaliate to Vishnu's behavior because of that ahankar, that pride, that anguish, thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, I am supposed to be the controller. This is one primary characteristic which differentiates. If you take any personality like, Ravana, very well read, very well qualified person. They by design, they have got so many accolades. But then just because of that ahankar, just because of their sense gratificatory propensity, they invited their own death. When Kamsa got his sister Devaki married, he was so much, having respect and love for his sister and brother-in-law, Vasudev. He literally chose to ride the chariot and drop them home. It is very unusual for a Maharaja like that of King Kamsa to do that act of driving a chariot. It's like a very blue-collar, job in that sense in those days. But he chose to do that in front of all his friends, families and, associates. He drove. But what happened when his life was challenged? The entire love became animosity. The entire love became completely changed into hatred. In case of Ravana, his sense gratificatory propensity, his desire to enjoy. So the idea here is that anyone who is having this self-centered nature and propensity, which in different proportions we all have. When self-centered nature is in its extreme capacity, it is in a very acute capacity, he is called a classified demon. Krishna says, Vimuda. Vimuda means demon. Vimuda means one's intelligence is lost. So hence, in our daily life, we need to be very careful not to fall into the category of Vimuda. So my first reflection is about identifying, understanding demoniac nature. Having said this as a primary nucleus reason of why somebody is a demon, there are some associate qualities of the demons, which I just want to list them so that we can very closely look in ourselves and see if we can identify and eliminate them through the process of Krishna consciousness. When I am self-centered, when I am thinking about me being the enjoyer and controller, I would always want to blame someone else for my challenges. Any challenges that come my way, I will blame someone. So, being self-centered has got few associated qualities which makes a demon complete. In case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they did all the rascaldom, but they are angry with Vishnu. They didn't go and bother the demons, demigods, but they are angry with everybody. So the idea is that a person who is always looking at blaming someone else and doesn't want to take responsibility for his action is an associate function of a demon. A demon is somebody who will not take responsibility for his action. Rather, he would put the blame on someone. So it is like I am self-centered and I will blame someone. Number two, as a secondary thing, I will have natural hatred towards anybody who is established supreme. Right from Paundraka, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, everybody, what they are not able to assimilate, they are not able to assimilate Vishnu or Krishna being called supreme. Okay, I just want to say for the sake of conversation, okay, you be a demon, I am self-centered, I will enjoy, you be in your own space. No, they cannot. They have a tag called only. I only have to be supreme. Hiranyakashipu aya namaha. That was his point. The whole anguish Hiranyakashipu had towards Prahlad Maharaj was that Prahlad Maharaj was not chanting Hiranyakashipu aya namaha. Prahlad Maharaj did not accept Hiranyakashipu as the master. So this only tag is a very danger tag. This only tag is applicable only to Krishna. Krishna is the only supreme personality of Godhead. Anything associated with Krishna can have only. Rest, anybody uses this only tag, there is a risk. This is the only thing, this is the only thing, this is the only thing. Especially those are associated with sense gratification things. So, a demon being self-centered, ahankari, with all pride, doesn't take responsibility and blame others. And second is, he cannot assimilate, he cannot tolerate, he cannot accept anybody else as supreme. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, how it is the duty of everyone, we will come there. How it is the duty of everyone to develop their inclination, surrender towards the Supreme Lord, doubt and everything to the Supreme Lord. They are exactly opposite to that. The third aspect of a demon, apart from being self-centered and being proud, is about a demon at no point in time. A person who is with a demoniac nature, at no point in time have got a principled or virtuous or some sort of a They create their own rules books. It is their rules than subscribing to some authority, subscribing to some line of thought. If they will apparently follow only till the point in time their interests are not compromised. If their interests are compromised, whether the person is spiritual master or anybody else, they will finish them up and move forward. Even if their own parents, Kamsa, arrested his own parents. So the idea is that for them, the lions of authority or somebody who is following by some set of principles is absolutely not there. There is no concept of following some principles. They will apparently have some rules. But the rules will dynamically change when their quotients are getting affected. And if I can say the fourth and most important thing, as a part of a demon, just because of them being self-centered and being proud, is they're absolutely merciless. There is no quotient of mercy. There is no quotient of, because mercy or some sort of a considerate feeling will be there only when I want to accommodate someone and accommodate their feelings, their thoughts. I will be merciful, I will be apparently supportive only till the point in time they are, they are ex-boss to me, they are chamchas to me, they are just, they do jai jaikar to me. That is why half of the time in the government functions, we get to see all these people who just say bogus, jai jaikar, who just say, ha, jai jai raja, because they want their daily bread. So my first reflection, I want to conclude saying that any time we see these qualities around us and they are prominent within us, we need to be very careful to go and get ourselves admitted into a hospital called Krishna Consciousness Association and approach a doctor called a spiritual master and get ourselves treated. So ahankar, being the nucleus cell, self-centered nature, because of which I will not take responsibility and blame others. If I have a tendency to blame others, if I have a tendency to, not accept the authority of the Supreme Lord, if I am completely merciless, and if I do not have a principle to follow, if I do not have any lines of authority, do not have any rule book that I subscribe to, which means I will operate on my own. I will not surrender to an authority. I do not have daya, jive daya. I do not have kindness in my heart. If I constantly blame someone and I have a big problem in just having somebody called Supreme Personality of Godhead and this tag of only, that I, me, mine only, then we are at a very risky proposition. And please note that we have many such people, even in Kali Yuga, who may be around us. So beware. If not you, there are many people. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks about different classes of men. First class men, in Tamil, there is a very nice saying. Sollamale seivar periyar. It means without need to be saying what is to be done, if somebody does it, as we say in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Swaroop Damodar Goswami. Swaroop Damodar Goswami used to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a manner that before even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would expect something to be there, or before even Mahaprabhu used to express his mood, Swaroop Damodar Goswami would understand his consciousness and try to create all the necessary arrangements. In Vrindavan, Paurnamasi, Vrinda Devi, their job is that just before Krishna wants to perform his transcendental pastimes, they will arrange or they will go and manage the situation in such a capacity that things are very wonderfully arranged. This is called first class devotee. Second class person is the one who does things after being told. Solli chaivar siriya. After being told, please do this. Okay, we go and do it. Let's go and do this. That's okay. That's good. But that's still second class. Third, solliyum seyyar kayavar. A thief or a person who is really non-cooperative in nature. They don't do it even after being told. This is third class. I always extrapolate this and add two more classes. A fourth class of men, which we generally see is, they not only not do it, they will stop others doing it. If you don't do it, that's okay, that's one problem. But if you stop others also doing it, that's furthermore extension of arrogance, right? That's fourth class. And there is one more class on top of it, fifth class. They not only not do it, they not only stop others from doing it, they will create a new system of following and force everybody else to do it. That is what is a case of Hiranyakashipu. And we have many such fifth class men in our neighborhood and here and near and so many places. I mean, I'm not saying we are supposed to be mean in seeing others, but beware. Krishna consciousness means be careful in what we subscribe to, whom we associate, what we eat, how much we are engrossed in all these things. So this is my first reflection. Second reflection is with respect to what Srila Prabhupada is writing. Look at all the things that Hiranyakashipu and his team are going and destroying. Srila Prabhupada is saying all the things that they are destroying, they are meant for serving the Lord. So they are meant to worship the Lord. The Lord is pleased by these offerings. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. And it is said, sam siddhim hari toshanam. If everything is offered to the Supreme Lord, naturally everybody is pleased. You are pleased, you are satisfied. Unfortunately, not knowing this basis, not knowing this understanding, people are very, very mean. They are so mean that they are constantly finding fault even at good people because they are not able to enjoy as much as these good people are. Sometimes we see that people suffering this world, when they look at devotees, they are envious. How come these guys are able to be happy? Jayaprataka Maharaj once mentioned this story of his earlier days in ISKCON. So, he was in Montreal, Montreal or Toronto, somewhere. And those days, ISKCON was going through a very rough financial crisis. So, it was needed that all the resident devotees had to do multiple shifts to go out, make some money so that the movement can be, expanded. So these devotees, they had three shifts. They had to get up in the morning, perform Mangalarti, do morning japa, and they'll be out at 6 o'clock for their first shift of job. 6 to 2, they do a shift, and 2 to, 10 or some time, they do second shift. And whatever money they earn, they used to bring and offer to Prabhupada so that no preaching can happen. So, Jayaprataka Maharaj, if you all know him, he's from Wisconsin and from a very wealthy upbringing. But after joining Prabhupada to serve Srila Prabhupada, so he chose to work as a janitor in one coffee shop. So, what happened was that in those days, there used to be walkman. So he used to have devotees Kirtan and Prabhupada's lecture in the walkman. And he used to have in his pocket, he used to have his headset. And as he was doing his janitor job, He used to be, you know, very laughing and enjoying and smiling and performing his janitor's job. So there used to be a very wealthy businessman who used to visit this coffee shop regularly. So this guy kept on noticing Jayapathak Maharaj, and this guy is a very wealthy guy, comes in a you know plush car and you know whatnot. So he couldn't digest the fact that somebody is you know so happy. Somebody in such a blue collar kind of job person may not be making you know so much of a money. I mean, he didn't know the background, right? So he kind of you know started asking. One day he called Jayapathak Maharaj and said that how is that you guys are able to remain happy? How? So, you know, as you know, Jayapathak Maharaj can very dramatically you know, explain this. So he was explaining how, he was explaining many things, but two of the very profound statements out of this, he was mentioning that how when we are surrendered to Krishna, when we are offering all our activities and results of our activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, even the most, you know, lowest cadre of job, a blue collar service, which otherwise is not very, very highly paid, because it is being done for Srila Prabhupada, for some missionary purpose, we are able to experience unlimited happiness. Look at those days where they had to do their sadhana, their hearing, reading, they have to do shifts. And hardly they would have any free time, you know, me time, whatever you may call today. But they remained extremely happy. So he was explaining that gentleman that because our grandfather used to refer how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj taught, gave us this Krishna consciousness process. Our father, our dearest Srila Prabhupada, has engaged us in Krishna service because we are students of this Krishna consciousness process. So we are able to remain happy. There are several conversations, several more details of this conversation. There is one more thing that, you know, he was mentioning, which was very profound, may not be directly connected to this context, but I just thought I'll complete the story there, where he said that that's when I understood about the life of a congregation devotee. This was a lecture he gave in Radha Rasbihari Temple, Srila Prabhupada's quarters, if I am right, in the year 1999 or 2000. So he said that that's when, because I was working for a karmi boss, we understand their mindset, what their expectations are and what they are. And when we work for them and have to also parallelly practice Krishna consciousness, you have to deal with social, you know, people and professional people who may not have Krishna consciousness background. And if you still have to practice Krishna consciousness, so my respect for congregation devotees increased, and I just thought we need to look after them very nicely. So that's why he was always very keen in, you know, developing this congregation preaching and, you know, be very supportive to them. So the point here is, that anyone at any point in time dovetail their activities to Krishna. Even though the dovetailment, this engagement or associating with Krishna may not be in its perfect sense, but just the intention, the desire level is sorted out. The biggest problem between these two categories is about that intention. The intention, if it is sorted out, if I move out of the self-centered nature from I, me, mine only state to I add Krishna to that state. I, me, mine and Krishna also. Just imagine, we are not yet, you know, completely purified state. Previously, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were in a state of consciousness of I, me, mine only, which is the demoniac state, which is our first reflection. But when we are somehow or other, you know, take Krishna conscious association, identify my vices and surrender to a bona fide spiritual doctor, then what happens? We let Krishna also come inside the center. I have mentioned this example many times that Krishna is a very interesting, funny, and very intelligent personality. You are the center, occupying the center of your life. All through the while, you are thinking that I am the center of my life. Now somebody told you, please add Krishna also. So my definition changed. I, me, mine, and Krishna also. That's all Krishna is asking as of now. So what is happening? Krishna is also part of your center. Now the game starts. What would Krishna do? He will slowly nudge you out. You will not even realize when he is nudging you out. There is an alwar in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. He used to very nicely explain that how that I had never been a devotee, but I had been always thinking, claiming, trying to be a devotee. And one fine day I became a devotee. The Pasuram goes like this. Poyen, poyen, endru solli, meyen agi vandene. Poi means bluffing. Poyen means I've been bluffing and bluffing and thinking that I've been a devotee. But one fine day I have actually became a devotee. So my second reflection that I want to say here is that from moving out of a demoniac lifestyle, from trying to cure our demoniac propensity, please let Krishna also come in the center of your life. When Krishna comes in the center of your life, when Krishna joins you in the center, Krishna will, knowing how to nudge you out, how to slowly move you out, just let him come. And tell Krishna, Krishna, I am yours. Tell Krishna your challenges. He will very organically, nicely peel off all the layers of attachment and slowly, finally take us to a stage called Krishna only state. What is supposed to be, what is the state of consciousness of self-realized souls? The state of consciousness of self-realized soul is Krishna only. Their whole consciousness, Radhanath Maharaj was giving the class the other day. He's saying that the heart of a self-realized soul is aprakrita, which means his heart is the pastimes of the Lord. Always they dwell on the pastimes of the Lord and their consciousness. So Krishna only state, it's a state that we need to eventually, you know, become, we reach up to. So I want to, you know, conclude my second reflection by saying that can we learn to add Krishna in all walks of our life, to move away from demoniac nature to become a devotee nature? All we need to do is learn to make Krishna into every walks of your life. Previously we were, you know, we were going to Krishna, but in some aspects of our lives. But now we will make Krishna as part of every aspect of our life. I used to always say this, that Krishna consciousness is just not limited as a part of our life. Krishna consciousness is a way of life. So can we add Krishna in every decision that we make? Can we add Krishna in every aspect of our life? So then our definition of our life will change to I, me, mine, and Krishna also. Maybe he has not been given the utmost priority, but that's a good beginning. So as Prabhupada explains, when everything is doubted to Krishna, when we are adding him into all walks of our life, all auspiciousness comes our way. When all auspiciousness comes our way, we will be able to see the real happiness. We will be able to actually enjoy which we are searching everywhere. Currently, we are exploring even after being in Krishna consciousness because of our because of our frivolous or uncultured, uncivilized thoughts and behaviors. Because of our past conditioning, somewhere we are not able to exactly relish, enjoy the real effect of Krishna consciousness, for which if somehow or other we are able to align our thoughts. Tukaram Maharaj is saying in one of his songs, in one of his abhang, Anika dusare madanam himadam nemelyarchitam basuniyam panduranga dhyanim pandurangamanim jagritim swapnim pandurangam patilem valana indriyam sakalam Bhavato Nirala Nahim Tudam. He's saying, you know, my entire Zen, the entire consciousness, I would like to be predominated with vital consciousness. Jagritim, Swapnim, Panduranga. When I'm awake, as well as when I'm sleeping, let my consciousness be filled. So Tukaram Maharaj is actually making this as an offering. As a prayer. What prayer it is? My dear Lord, please bestow this benediction that I am, you know, predominated with such a consciousness. May my consciousness, because my indriya, indriyam sakalam, bhavato nirala nahim tuja, let my senses not do anything else apart from serving your lotus feet. So this is my, you know, second reflection where we need to learn as devotees, conscious endeavor. Like we do when we have a child in our family. No decisions are taken without the new member. Before the child is born, every decision is taken with two people in consideration. When the child is born, every decision is taken with three people in consideration. No decision is taken without, you know, child. Every decision. Going out, vacation, you know, food, everything is considering the child. Similarly, after surrendering, after understanding, after coming to this process of Krishna consciousness, we need to take decisions keeping Krishna. When we are cooking, we should think of Krishna. When we are buying dress, house, car, you know, job, location, marriage, every decision, can we ask, is this going to make Krishna happy? Will Krishna be pleased with this? Where is Krishna's role in this? How much Krishna is going to be pleased in this? Because he is even desiring to be part of your family. That's what he is telling Arjuna. Upadrishta Anumantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha. So it is very important. Now the last reflection. The third reflection is that where do we start to develop this? Because the demoniac nature, we are born in an era of age of quarrel and hypocrisy, a completely Gaya Gujra, you know, period. It's called Iron Age, and you know what to speak of the mindset of the people nowadays, and how Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the day progresses how deteriorating it is going to be. If somehow somebody reads 12th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, chapter 3, it is scary. Continuing being in this Kali Yuga is scary. Just do nothing. Just be part of this Kali Yuga. You read after 5,000 years, after 10,000 years, after you know, several thousand years. It is very scary. So we are somehow, we need to take some decisions. You just cannot simply wait and watch mode. So some decisions, and how do we switch myself? How do I, interestingly, you know, with very impulsively, very focusedly add Krishna in my life? And Srimad Bhagavatam time and again repeatedly says the only way is by regularly hearing about Krishna from a bona fide spiritual master, from a bona fide spiritual authorities, from a bona fide source. And when you constantly hear about Krishna, then what happens is that you will develop a natural attachment and affinity towards Krishna, that you will not be able to live without Krishna. Krishna will be an important part of your life. Krishna consciousness will become the way of life. So when we are diagnosed with some particular disease, if I am diagnosed with the diabetes or some specific disease, then my lifestyle changes. Technically, if I value my lifestyle changes. Similarly, when we are hearing about wonderful signs of Krishna consciousness, so we need to make sure that our hearing. So this hearing is not just limited to what we just hear, make notes and leave. It's not like that. I spoke about this in one of the Chaitanya Charitamrita sessions. So there are five stages of acquiring knowledge. There are five stages of trying to receive the bona fide signs of Krishna consciousness. So first way is about the stage of pratyaksha. Pratyaksha is the stage where I try to hear, learn knowledge in an indirect way or in an immature, incomplete way. Because it's incomplete. As we all know, pratyaksha pramana is considered as a bona fide pramana only when there is an associated shabda brahma. So the idea is that there are different schools of thoughts and different people take different pramana, but we, from our Vaishnava traditions, we take shabda pramana as a, you know, a bona fide one. So pratyaksha is the way by which people generically try to learn, but that's an incomplete way of learning. Then second stage of acquiring, like initially when we come, we just see, okay, we see happy devotees, we see wonderful prasadam, we see beautiful dham, we see cooperative things. So we just think and just try to, you know, participate. Chant and be happy is what we are told. And it is true. But there is a lot more science underneath that statement of chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy is a very simple statement for simple-minded people. But people like me, complicated, they have to go through a whole lot of experience. So pratyaksha is incomplete. So then what naturally is the next higher stage of acquiring knowledge? It is called paroksha. Paroksha meaning that I try to listen from a bona fide source. I try to hear from a, you know, self-realized soul. I try to hear from a Vaishnava. And he is explaining, oh, see, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna himself. He is Jagannath. He is Krishna himself. He is saying, I have not realized, but I have some faith. Like how in the earlier days, everybody knew Swamiji. They didn't know who Krishna was. Swamiji said Krishna is Supreme God, so they say Krishna is Supreme God. All they knew was Swamiji is our well-wisher. And whatever Swamiji says, we will do because he is here not for himself, for us. So this is called paroksha way of acquiring knowledge, which means it is still indirect, still not direct. I am only agreeing with what he is saying, but I have not experienced. Then we keep on doing that, keep on doing that, keep on doing that. After a point in time, we get to a stage called aparoksha. A paroksha stage of acquiring knowledge means is where I have heard, been hearing, as I am hearing, I am applying things in my life and experiencing some results. So whatever I am hearing, I heard 20 things, I put in practice 2 things and proportionate to that I am having some experience. And because I have got that experience, I get motivated to further hear and further apply. Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam su sukam kartum avyayam. So aparoksha is where I start to experience, and when I start experience, I am starting to walk that talk and walk that path which all the Vaishnavas have recommended. And the fourth stage, when we keep doing this, the fourth stage of learning is about the stage of adokshaja. Adokshaja means in my life, all the sense gratificatory things are completely eliminated. I am only dealing with Krishna consciousness subject matter. All the sense gratificatory things are suppressed and buried. And this stage is considered as the stage of mature understanding. Very nice stage of understanding. It's called a person who is, accomplished stage of understanding. But there is one more stage called Aprakrita, or otherwise called as, Divya Pratyaksha, which means the stage where in your heart only Krishna's pastimes are, going around. And it is explained that this stage is actually blessed upon a person by the Supreme Lord. This is not something that you can achieve. It is somebody is empowered, somebody is blessed with that stage. That is why we get to hear from scriptures that Bhaktivinoda Thakur could see the pastime place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami could see. What Rupa Goswami is writing about different pastime places of Krishna, they are all not just stories. Literally Krishna's Leela, he could see that place. He personally saw the pastimes happening in that place. If he had not seen, he would not know which place is what in Vrindavan Dham. So that stage of consciousness is called Aprakrita. So this is the fifth stage. So the idea is that these stages of evolution of consciousness is very scientific. That is why Shravanam is just not, an apparent hearing, which is the beginning point, but it involves a lifestyle change, which involves complete consciousness overhauling. So my third reflection is about for us to dovetail everything in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. We need to make sure that Krishna consciousness should not just be limited to be a part of our life. Krishna consciousness should be a way of life. So Hiranyakashipu is right now in a very angry, anguish, tantrum mode. I'm sure this entire Hiranyakashipu Prahlad Maharaj saga, we all would have heard several times, but every time we hear them, we get a very nice excitement and we have lots of lessons that we have to learn. I'm sure the future speakers will do justice to all those future lessons. So I would stop here. Thank you all so much for engaging me in this service. Just to summarize, we had three sets of reflections. The first reflection is about the nature of demoniac nature, which is about ahankar being the central nucleus aspect of a demoniac person. And if somebody is having this self-centered, I, me, mine only consciousness, then naturally he will be, blaming others and not taking responsibility. He will not accept the authority of the Supreme Lord. He will not have any principles to subscribe to. And definitely he will be merciless. He will have no mercy. I'm sure there are many more lists that we can add. But these are all some very vital qualities that we need to keep cross-checking within ourselves if by mistake, we are not victim to any of those things. Then the second reflection that we discussed is how by we adding Krishna factor into our lives, we making sure Krishna is added to our life, we move from I, me, mine only stage to the stage of I, me, mine and Krishna also. By having Krishna also in our life, Krishna will do the rest. He will make sure that at some point in time, we are pushed out of the center and he establishes the central place. Like Vamanadev, he just asked for three pieces of land. It looked very simple. Bali Maharaj didn't realize that, he's going to, eventually become his servant. But eventually Krishna had very nicely, managed to occupy the center of attraction. And last but not least, the third reflection is about the evolution of consciousness for us to add Krishna in our lives. Today we are superimposed with so many materialistic thoughts. So for us to safeguard ourselves from all of those things, we need to make sure that the way of acquiring knowledge, applying knowledge, transforming our lives from being Krishna consciousness as a part of a part of our life, we need to make sure Krishna consciousness is a way of life. I'm sure all of your Kartik Vrata are going very nicely. I'm seeing different initiatives being taken. So wish you all a very happy Deepavali in advance and very wonderful festivities. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaurav Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Any questions or comments, I'll be happy to respond.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you Prabhuji for coming on the call on Srimad Bhagavatam class. Usually I know you come very often mid-morning classes, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much Prabhuji, first of all, for coming on the call. And Prabhuji, we have our next session right away for the Kartik month. Prabhuji, we are doing this Vrindavan Parikrama. Our Sanjay yeah. Nitan is helping us with that. So we'll be passing right away to the next class, Prabhuji. I wish there was more time for question and answer session because I know you answers to our queries are so amazing. So I will encourage devotees to go and see Prabhuji's classes on our YouTube channel, which is Bhakti Sangha Chappa Group channel. And there's a playlist of Prabhuji's classes. There are, I think, more than 150 classes. So there's so much nectar there. And love your class, Prabhuji. Love your class. I loved when you said, I was on the laughing note, when you come, you know, it's just chant and be happy. But if you really want that Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga of our Rishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there are devotees who want that, and that's the real taste, actually. Yes, Prabhu, that's detachment from this world is the real taste. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Wonderful, wonderful class. And thank you for your service, Prabhu, all the time. So, dear devotees, let us give obeisances to Prabhuji and all the assembled devotees. And dear devotees, please don't leave because Sanjay Nityananda Prabhu is right there after the class. So let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalaptaru, Vaishya Cha, Kripa.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Very nice nectar you gave us today.
Very beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu. So, dear devotees, we welcome our Sanjay Nityananda Prabhuji, who will give now Vrindavan Parikrama. Before he takes over, I will just introduce him. 1 second only, dear devotees. So, our Sanjay Nityananda Prabhuji, very sweet Prabhuji he is. So he works for Hare Krishna TV and make videos on all the holy places of Vraj, which contains about 300 plus places, Haribol. And he works as a tour guide and as a blogger for his own YouTube channel. So I humbly handfolding request all the devotees, if you have to go to Vrindavan and you are looking for a tour guide, please contact Sanjay Nityananda Prabhuji. I am pretty positive he will show you all the places very nicely without rush, as he said last time. He promised. So we have to see how that promise goes. Joking, Prabhuji, joking. I just love you, Prabhu. I know you will be there for us. So over to you, Prabhuji, without any delay. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Prabhu, you are on.
Okay.
Now it's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
हरे कृष्णा जय जय श्री राधे श्याम वृंदावन धाम की जय समस्त गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू विजिट वन मोर गौड़ीय गोस्वामी टेंपल एंड दैट इज राधा गोविंद टेंपल सो लेट्स गो टू स्क्रीन ओके सो दिस टेंपल हैव